Good morning. I am glad to be here. I'm going to have you stand one more time. And like I told the last group, you'll thank me in about 3 hours. No, I won't keep you that long. But Father, again, in this moment, with this group, at this time, we want to pray special grace and blessing upon Pastor Jack and the team that's with him, and the sharing that they're doing, may it be empowered by the Spirit. And may they find themselves being drawn to you even this day, Lord, enjoying their walk and doing the work that you want them to do. I thank you for Jack. I thank you for the passion you put in his heart, the enthusiasm that radiates from his life, for the depth of his walk. We pray that you would continue to keep your hand upon that man and upon his family too. And for this part of your family, Father, these guys, these gals, Lord, you've brought us together for reasons that you see, for this particular meeting. And I would pray that what you desire to do would be done this hour. That, Lord, you would do what only you can do, that you would make application to each of us as it relates to our own specific situations. So bless, I pray, my sisters and my brothers. Continue to use Calvary Chapel Chino Hills as a lighthouse in these dark times in which we're living. Use this as a refuge where hurting people could continue to be helped and healed. Keep using this place like you've done so beautifully. To an even greater degree in these last days, I thank you for this church. I marvel at what you're doing through this church. I pray your best blessing upon this church in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory exclusively, for Jesus' purposes. Amen. Amen. And you can sit down. I never know what I'm going to share until I walk up to the platform. I like to just sit there and take in the service and look around and get a sense for what I believe the Spirit would say to that group, that service, that particular congregation throughout the day. In this case, for third service, I was prompted by a conversation I had at the end of second service, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, talk about that. A lady came from Arizona to be here today. Her heart was heavy. A wonderful lady. And she was sad about the state of her college-age son, who went off to the university and has been taking in classes and courses there on the campus and has become sort of confused about what he believes, no longer sure that he believes. And this mom came with tears rolling down her cheeks. Her heart was breaking, and we got to do something right then. Right there, that's absolutely astounding. She and I, right there, got to do something that I want to let you in on too. With that in mind, would you turn to Mark chapter 9? Mark chapter 9. Mark is not a hard book to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. If you've hit concordance, you've gone too far. Back it up, go to the left. Mark. Page 1056 in the Anointed Version. Mark chapter 9. We read in verse 14, "And when he," that is Jesus, "came to his disciples," that is the nine of his disciples that weren't with him, up on the Mount of Transfiguration that's talked about in the first part of the chapter, Jesus now comes down from the mount with Peter, James, and John to the other nine that were down below. So now he came to his disciples, the other nine, and he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. The scribes, religious guys, debating with them, arguing with them, throwing questions at them, debating the other nine disciples that had been left behind. Straightway, verse 15 says to you and me, all the people, when they beheld him, that is Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, that is Jesus, they saluted him. Well, then Jesus, verse 16 says, asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What are you debating with my guys about? Jesus would say. Well, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, you might think your son is dumb, but that's not this. The idea of dumb means he couldn't speak. He had a demon in him that was playing havoc with him. Master, I have brought my son, which hath a dumb spirit or demon. And wheresoever he taketh him, the demon takes him, he tears him. And he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pines away. And I spoke to thy disciples, the nine, that they should cast this devil out. But they could not. Jesus, verse 19, answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, straightway the spirit tore at that young son. And he fell, this young son did, on the ground and wallowed foamingly. Jesus asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And the dad said, of a child. Verse 22, and oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, verse 23, said to that man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Just then, straightway, the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked that foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit, the demon, cried and rent him, tore him sore, and came out of him. And he was, the boy, as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus, man, I like that. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Interesting vignette, interesting story. Jesus, as I mentioned previously, had just been on the mount called the Mount of Transfiguration, probably Mount Hermon, where he began to shine and glow. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, Jesus, and one for Elijah, and one for Moses that showed up there on the mountain with them. Right there. You know the story. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. It's not about Moses the law or Elijah the prophets. It's about Jesus. This is the one. This is my son. Hear ye him. Then Jesus, as I mentioned, came down from the mountain. On the mountain, the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. But down in the valley, another father who had an only son, another gospel tells us, this is my bedeviled son. Look at him. Jesus coming down from the mountain deals with the reality of a father whose heart broken. Things aren't going well. He, this dad, brought his son that was tormented by demons to the disciples. They couldn't deal with the demons. The scribes were there too. So you know what they did? The scribes and disciples debated theology. They argued with each other. I found it true that when we can't do anything, we'll debate. When we're not able to do much, well, we'll argue theology. We'll debate biblically. We'll toss opinions back and forth continually. You'll either debate stuff or you'll do great stuff. There are the doers and the debaters. God help Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. May you continue to be a church that's too busy doing stuff to debate stuff. Do great stuff. Don't debate stuff. These guys were being theologians like I can be because they couldn't do anything about the situation, so they debated theology. Arminianism, Calvinism, sovereignty, predestination, whatever it might be that people debate endlessly about. A theologian often is like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. And he finds it. That's what theology often does. Like that blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there but finds one anyway. So they were debating theology. Jesus now comes down with the other three that were with him up on the mountain. Jesus hears what's going on. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, how long shall I bear with you, faithless generation? Why is he like that? Why does Jesus say this? Because Jesus is like a father, like a dad. Dads are easy to please, but impossible to satisfy. I'm pleased with my kids growing up, playing basketball, on the football field, whatever it might be. But I was never satisfied, always pleased, but always knowing that they could do a little more. Jump a little higher. Go a little further. Come on, guys, I know you can do this. And Jesus expected his boys to be further along at this point. Jesus expects you and me. He expects us to be growing. He doesn't desire for me to be in the same place I was last year spiritually, or even last week, quite frankly. He wants us to keep going, to keep growing. So he's easy to please, but impossible to satisfy. He wants me to move ahead. You too. So he calls them on this and said, oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. bring your boy to me. And that's what I was able to say to her an hour ago or so. Man, let's bring your boy in prayer to Jesus right here, right now. Bring him to me. Not send him to me, bring him to me. Right here, right now, not later on in the day, not next week, not sometime down the road, but right here, third service, if you would, right now, this day, bring that dumb son. That hurting relationship. That bedeviling, perplexing problem. Bring it to me. And so the dad did just that. They brought him, that is the son, to Jesus. And straightway, what happens? Verse 20 says, the boy falls on the ground, wallows and foams from the mouth. And Jesus then turned to dad and said, how long has he been this way? I'm thinking, what? There's this boy that's suicidal, jumping into fires, jumping into water. Now he's on the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. He's demonized. And Jesus says, let's talk about this for a while, Dad. Lord, you can talk later. Lord, you can get the information you need later on. Do something. Lord, Lord, can't you move as fast as I would move? And the Lord says, I can move faster than you can move. The question is, can you move as slowly as I choose to? What? I move slower than you want me to, than you think I should, or than you think that you could do. Why is that? There's something going on. Dad, he says, how long has it been since this has been happening to him? The dad, no doubt, as we shall see shortly, is pierced by the question. The dad remembers back, and the dad understands, I believe, what's being implied in the story here, and that is this. Somehow, the dad was doing something that allowed this demon to come into his home. Maybe he was cheating on his income taxes. Maybe he was on the internet watching porn. Maybe he was taking a toke occasionally. But the dad knew there was a point in time when he opened the door, when he allowed an influence. I'm sure the dad didn't ever intend or mean for it to infect, afflict his son. Dads never do. That's the problem with sin. It always takes a toll in ways that we never anticipated. We always think, well, if I get caught or if it blows up, I can deal with it. I love her so much. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. We sing. We think we can figure out the price that it will bring, the pain that it will cause. But we never do. We never calculate the cost of the sin that we are flirting with or get sucked into. Not that. Not my son. And Jesus here, I suggest, looking at the boy roll around, foaming at the mouth, wallowing on the ground. Dad, how long has it been? The dad remembers. The dad knows. And that's why the dad would say, Lord, if you can do anything, verse 22, have compassion on not him, but compassion on what? Us. Help, not him, help us. The dad realizes, I'm part of the problem. I have a role that I have played in a way that's caused this foaming at the mouth, this rolling on the ground, this stuff to come about. And that's what Jesus, I believe, was getting at. Not to make the man feel bad or the dad feel down, but to realize what needed to take place next. If you can do something, help us. Have compassion on us. And Jesus, I believe with a smile on his face, and I believe with a twinkle in his eye, looks at that guy, looks at that man and says, if you can believe, man, all things are possible. You're asking me if I can do anything, I'm asking you, sir, Jesus would say, if you can believe, man, all things are possible. I don't care what happened in the past, where you've been, how bad it seems presently. Listen, if you can believe right here and right now. And then the man said, I love this because it so summarizes how so often I am, the way that I so often feel. With tears, verse 24, the dad said, Lord, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but I don't believe. I know you can do it, but I have doubts that if you'll come through for me. I believe, but help my unbelief. And although his faith, the dad's faith, was faltering, wavering, weak, it was enough. Jesus, when he heard that, turned to that boy and said to that demon, thou dumb and deaf demon, I charge thee, come out and enter him no more. Jesus took the little faith, tiny faith, dinky faith, fickle faith, faltering faith that the dad had. I can work with that. Come out, you deaf and dumb demon. Watch this. And the spirit, verse 26, cried and tore the boy sore and came out. So brutal was it that the boy was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Listen to me very carefully. Because when I do this, I bring my son. I bring that group. I bring those guys. I bring myself to Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The Lord looks at me and says, all it takes is the faith the size of a mustard seed to make stuff happen, to make mountains move. Just a little bit of faith. I can work with that. But the problem is, he begins to work, and it gets worse. What? Demon, come out. And the demon ripped the boy apart, threw him to the ground. So much so that the boy seemed to be dead. And that's the way it is. When you come to Jesus with that relationship, with that unbelieving dad, with that rebellious daughter, with that situation that brings such consternation to your soul, with that confusion, with that problem, with that addiction, with that person. When you come to Jesus, you bring him, you bring her, you bring that, you bring it to Jesus. And Jesus talks to you about you. How long has it been? Let's talk about this. And you open up your heart to him. And you express your belief, but also your unbelief simultaneously. And then Jesus steps up. Jesus steps in. And it gets worse. The dad must have thought, oh no, my son is dead. Everybody thought he's dead. Demons don't go easily. It gets worse before it gets better. But it will get better. Demons fight. It's because they know they're on the way out. Their time is up. They're through. The Lord allows this to happen. Why? Our story tells you. They thought he was dead. The dad, no doubt, must have buried his head, his face in his hands. Oh man, why did I come to this rabbi guy? At least my boy was alive previously. It's gone from bad to worse. Why did I go to church third service? Why'd I show up today? Man, I go home and it's worser than it's ever been. More miserable than it ever was. With her, with him, my boyfriend, my job situation, my kid. But Jesus. But Jesus, verse 27. But Jesus. I love that phrase. But Jesus. You know when people tell you something, by the way, parenthetically, this is a freebie. When you work with people like a lot of us do, like you do, you learn something. All that matters is what comes after the but. Oh, Pastor John, I think you're wonderful. I love the church. I think this is great. But all that matters is anytime you talk to a person, people will, because we're that way, say nice things and flatter you and all the rest. And then comes the big but. But you can forget everything that goes before the but. It's only what comes after the but. That's all that matters. The boy seems to be dead. The people are wondering what's going on. The dad must be terribly sad. But Jesus, that's all that matters. That's all I was able to tell her. Right there, an hour and a half ago. But Jesus. She was saying her husband thinks this, and others are saying that, and things are looking grimly, and but Jesus. Jesus took him by the hand. Jesus stepped in, stepped up. It was all according to his plan. Jesus takes him by the hand. Jesus takes him by the hand and raises him up. Now listen to me. I'm almost through. But this is the word of the Lord for Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, third service. Listen carefully. Tune in. If you've been sleeping, I don't blame you. But man, wake up. If the guy next to you is sleeping, jab him right now in the ribs and say, listen up. Because this is what matters here. This is the whole thing. But Jesus took him by the hand. But Jesus took him by the hand. A violin in my hand is squeaky noise. A violin in Yitzhak Perlman's hand is masterful music. A block of granite in my hand is a chunk of rock. A block of granite in Michelangelo's hand is the statue of David. A peanut in my hand is a little snack or an airline meal these days. A peanut in George Washington Carver's hand is peanut butter, shoe polish, furniture restorer, and 220 other items made from peanuts. A basketball in my hand is $29.95. A basketball in Kobe Bryant's hand is $30 million. A golf ball a golf club in my hand is a dangerous weapon. Oh, wow. A golf ball, a golf club in Phil Mickelson's hand is a green Masters jacket. A stick in my hand can beat back a Rottweiler. A stick in Moses' hand parts the Red Sea. The jawbone of an ass in my hand is a bit of dead donkey. A jawbone of an ass in Samson's hand is a weapon of mass destruction. A slingshot in my hand is a dime store toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a giant killer. Spit and clay in my hand is a mud pie. Spit and clay in Jesus' hand opens the blind eyes. 5 loaves and 2 fish in my hand are a couple of Wahoo tacos. 5 loaves and 2 fish in Jesus' hand feeds 5,000 men to total satisfaction. Wood and nails in my hand is a birdhouse at best. Wood and nails in his hand saves the world eternally. Here's the thing. The only issue is whose hand is your son in? Oh, I know, Mom, you can't handle it. I know, sir, you just can't take it any longer. I know, young person, you're losing your grip. I know that. Me too. But do you have enough faith today to say, but this I can do? I can bring it to Jesus. And I can put it in his hands. I can't deal with it. I don't know what to do about it. I can't change her heart or make him see or change those circumstances professionally. But what I can do right here, I can bring it to Jesus. And I believe, but I don't believe. Lord, I have faith, but help my lack of faith. And the Lord says, good enough. I can work with that. If you'll bring him, her, them, it to me. And put it in my hands. And yes, listen, sir. Take note, young person. It might look worse initially. It might look worse immediately. It might be worse, get worse, become worse. But it's only because Jesus is driving the devil out of the situation. And Jesus is going to grab that man. And I told her, standing right there, Jesus is going to grab his hand and pull him up and bring him back. If you will simply, right now, right here, bring him, your son, to Jesus. And with a little bit of faith, say, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And take your hands off it. And quit trying to figure it out because you can't handle it. But you can. put his hand, her hand, their hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put that hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. The old song still sings. Put the hand in the hand of the man from Galilee and watch and see what he will do. I promise you, I've got 5 kids. I've watched them loving the Lord from the time they were knee-high to a grasshopper to this time when they're all involved in ministry. Not walking away, not turning back, not disengaged. My one, Jessie Lee, 16, she's in heaven. Went to heaven when she was 16 to join her mother, who went at 28, my first wife. But I've watched over the years, when my faith has faltered, when I've been weak, I've watched and I've seen time and time again, when I put those kids and my grandkids and the people that I'm linked to and the people that I care about, the people that I'm working with, Lord, I tried to fix it. I brought him to your disciples. I looked to that group or those guys or this ministry. They couldn't do a thing but argue theology. But Lord, now I'm bringing him to you. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I put him in Jesus' hand. I'm inviting you, Third Service, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, to do just that right here, right now. I'm going to ask you to not just take in the word. I'm going to ask you who choose to be doers of the word. Is your boyfriend breaking your heart because he's not getting it? Is your husband online in places he ought not to be? Is your mom just absolutely opposed to Jesus? Does the country seem to be going to the dogs very rapidly? Are the finances drying up? Is the job driving you crazy? Do you feel like you're going deaf and dumb? Like you're casting into the fires? You're worried about being fired? What is it today, Third Service, because this is the word of the Lord for some of you, a bunch of you in here, a bunch of us. I'm tired of going to counseling. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of looking to her, looking to that, looking to him, looking to this. Nothing's worked. Not really. My heart is broken. Jesus would say, bring it to me. Really. I'm going to ask you in just a moment if there is somebody, something, someone that you say, man, John, this might not relate to anybody else, but it's speaking to my heart. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to bring that to Jesus. Today. See, church isn't hearing about what you should do. Church is doing what we ought to do. Not just gaining lessons to do someday, but getting inspiration right here, right now, for this day. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to lift your hand if you have a situation, a person. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand, and I'm going to ask you to lift it up. And I'm going to have those of us with uplifted hands, because I have one. maybe this message is for nobody but me, that I need to lift up right now and say, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, do something. Lord, like that dad said back then, if you can help us, Lord, have compassion on us, Lord. And the Lord would say, if you, Johnny, that's what he calls me, if you, Johnny, can believe, all things are possible. Any of you that choose to, in a moment, lift up your hands. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If you here are saying, I have no problems, lift up both your hands. You've got more problems than you know. But seriously, all kidding aside, I'm asking for those that are not trying to think of some problem, but come in here today and say, there's something on my heart, someone on my heart. I've got a heavy heart. I want to bring it to Jesus, not later on in the day, because later on never happens. Baseball games come on, barbecues get fired up, lawns need to get mowed. I know. It happens here. It happens now. Because Jesus is in the house. He's on these grounds. So if that's your situation, I'm going to lead us in a simple but heartfelt prayer. My privilege to pray with you. To bring this word to this part of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills today. Anybody want to join me in lifting up your hand? If there's something, someone that you have concern about, that you're feeling anxious about, whatever it might be. Father, even as the psalmist said, we lift our hands up unto thy name. Even as the prophet Jeremiah declared, we lift our hearts with our hands. Even as that guy in Capernaum stretched out his withered hand. Even as this father in our text today, with his hand, brought that son to you. And then, Lord, you took your hand. When everybody else thought it was over, it was hopeless, it was through, and you raised him up. Lord, I'm asking you. Lord, we're calling to you. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. But Lord, in each of these situations, each of these sons or daughters or boyfriends or relatives or whatever, Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift ourselves into your hands, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would infuse us with faith. No matter how things might look later today or tomorrow, that we might know that you are on the throne, that you're hearing our prayers, that you are the one that told us whatever we ask of you in your name, that you will do. For your glory, Jesus, for your purposes, we ask now that these people, situations, circumstances would be placed in your hand and your perfect plan would be done. I thank you for hearing this prayer. Lord, we've tried to handle it and failed miserably. We've put our hand on it and nothing happened like those 9 disciples did previously. But we see your hands, Jesus, stretched out on Calvary's cross. We see your hands absorbing those nails. We see your hands loving us and the people that we're holding up, loving us and them too to death. You shed your blood. I know, Lord, that you love them more than we could even begin to comprehend. And it's on that basis, with that confidence of your love, not our faith, of your heart, not our minds, I pray that these folks that are joining me with uplifted hands would be set free from anxieties, frustrations, fears, that they would be set free, Lord, to go their way rejoicing, knowing that they have handed off the football, that they have transferred the burden, that they have shared their heart with you, Jesus, in this house of prayer, this place of praise, that, Lord, you're in our midst. You're hearing our hearts, praying through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Jesus at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, ever living to do that. You're our hero, Lord. You're our healer, our helper, the savior of souls, the restorer of relationships, the provider of all needs. You're our everything. And Lord, we just stand in awe. Would you stand with me and just keep your hand, in fact, lift both hands up. Stand with me, would you please? Stand with me as a congregation. You've given that. We've given that to the Lord. Now, would you just simply express in a quiet, whispered praise, say, thank you, Lord, for taking her, and use the name. Thank you, Lord, for taking that, and tell him what it is. Thank you, Lord, for blessing him. Go ahead, church. Begin to thank the Lord now with uplifted hands and hearts full of praise and faith being expressed. Would you whisper your prayers? Move your lips. Pray the prayer. Say, thank you, Lord, for hearing your heart right now, right now, right here today. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We trust you. We believe on you and believe in you. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do, Lord, for these your children, for we your people. All blessing, glory, praise, and honor be thine forever and ever. Oh, let's sing to him together, shall we?